Hello and welcome back to the adventures of Lola Badiola. In the last episode, Lola decided to confront Cayetano Tolosa and basically fire him. In this episode, we'll find out how J.J. Thompson reacts to this news. So here we go.
The Adventures of Lola Badiola, Chapter 47. Ribera del Duero. Cayetano Tolosa was a bad apple. It was good that he was gone. The confrontation had brought the rest of the team together and finally won Lola the respect of the programmers. She called JJ's mobile and it went straight through to voicemail. She asked him to call her back as soon as possible. She needed to explain what had happened before he heard it from anyone else. She went through her contact list and set herself the task of booking 4 more key meetings that morning. She needed to make up for lost time. She was more convinced than ever that their product was a winner. While it was true that Pluto had reached level 9 of the game, he hadn't breached the most enhanced level of protection. Furthermore, the intrusion had alerted the team to weaknesses which they had subsequently addressed. In her opinion, J-Block software was now at least 3 years ahead of its closest competition. She spent the next 4 hours on the phone, mixing cold calls with sales pitches and relationship-building chats. It was what she did best. If Lola really believed in a product, she was irrepressible. She would wear down procurement managers with her charm, intelligence, and enthusiasm until they had no choice but to take the meeting, sample the software, or sign on the dotted line. At 2 p.m. she received a call from JJ. It was her opportunity to explain how and why Cayetano had left the company.
Lola, what's up?
Hi, JJ. Listen, I had an issue with Cayetano. I had no choice but to fire him. There was a long pause on the other end of the line.
Okay,
he replied dispassionately. Okay, thought Lola. Was that it? No questions? No emotion? JJ continued in the same detached manner.
I'd like you to come for dinner with me and Diego this evening. 9 p.m. at Benares. Can you make it?
Sure.
Great, see you then.
And with that, he hung up. Alarm bells rang in Lola's head. This was not the voice of the boss that she knew and admired. Something was up. Her rational mind started to work through all the possibilities. She wanted to prepare herself for any surprises. JJ and Diego were already sitting at the table, looking solemn, when Lola arrived at Benares at 9 p.m. that evening. They stood up and greeted her as she arrived. Then they all sat down, and Diego slid a menu across the table.
Shall we order?
Lola didn't pick up the menu. She looked directly into the eyes of the two men sitting opposite her. She wasn't going to play any games.
What's going on?
JJ looked across at Diego. Then he put down the menu and leaned forwards. In a quiet but firm voice, he said,
"We have an offer on the table."
Lola didn't react. The sale of the company was one of the possible, albeit unlikely, outcomes that she had anticipated after her brief telephone conversation with JJ.
From whom?
Techspania.
Once again, Lola didn't react. It was the worst-case scenario, but one she had considered. She chose to remain silent and let JJ explain.
We're in a difficult situation, Lola. We're burning cash like it's kindling. We have no sign of revenues, and there are forces, powerful forces, working against us. Techspania have offered us a way out. With our software and their distribution, we would be unstoppable.
Our software and their distribution?
It was clear to everyone that Lola was the loser in this deal. Techspania wanted the programmers and the technology and nothing else. Considering the current lawsuit, there was no way Lola was going back to Techspania.
They're offering us €6 a share.
It was undeniably a generous offer, proof that Techspania valued the intellectual property of J-Block very highly. JJ continued.
We all have an equity stake in J-Block. You, me, Diego, the programmers. We all benefit financially from this deal. It's
too sweet to refuse. You're surrendering. Lola didn't hide the bitterness in her voice. What happened to the idea of disrupting the market? What happened to David versus Goliath? We're going to be just like all those other startups who begin with good intentions and end up selling their souls to the devil.
JJ sat back in his chair and scratched his head. Lola was now on a roll.
This deal is going to cement TechSpania's monopoly position in the cybersecurity market for the next generation, she said, her voice trembling with indignation. It's going to allow them to kill their competition, squeeze their suppliers and screw their customers. It's a complete betrayal of everything we stand for.
Diego looked at Lola with admiration. She was a fighter, and in his heart he completely agreed with her. He quietly ordered a bottle of red wine.
So where is the next client going to come from, Lola? JJ responded forcefully. When are we going to start seeing some cold hard cash?
Trust me, JJ, it's just around the corner.
Trust you? You've brought in no clients, you're being sued by TechSpania, and you've just fired half the sales team. I think I've trusted you enough already.
That hurt, and JJ knew it. He softened his tone.
Listen, Lola, if we had one big client, just one, that would be enough. That would prove to me that we have the ability to build this business ourselves. Do we have one big client, even on the horizon?
Lola shook her head. Diego looked down in disappointment. He had hoped that the conversation would go a different way, that Lola would be able to convince the entrepreneur to keep going. JJ scrutinized his two faithful colleagues, giving them as much time as they needed to respond. But his question was met with silence.
Okay. Tomorrow I have a meeting with the CEO of TechSpania. I'm going to accept his offer. We will then meet with the board of directors and they will ratify the deal.
Lola could hardly believe what was happening. Every prediction that Mario Ruiz de Velasco had made at their fateful meeting was coming true. He said that she had no future at J-Block because J-Block had no future. He promised that he would either buy the company or bury it. He threatened that he would either take her to the top of the mountain or throw her off it. The waiter arrived with the wine. It was a fine bottle of Ribera del Duero. He carefully popped the cork and then filled Diego's glass with a small amount of the crimson liquid for tasting. Lola stood up from her chair and looked down at the two men.
Okay, JJ, you know best. But just let me say, this company isn't worth €6 a share or 600 or 6,000. It's worth way more than that, and you're selling it for a song.
And with that, she walked out of the restaurant. The two men watched her go, and then sat for a long time in silence. Eventually, Diego picked up his glass of Ribera del Duero and took a sip. It was sour. The wine had gone off, and he spat it back into the glass. Outside the restaurant, Lola burst into tears. She had lost more than a job. She had lost a dream, a vision of a better, safer world that she could play one small part in building. For almost an hour, she wandered aimlessly around the streets of Barrio Salamanca, reliving all the injustices that had been perpetrated against her, until she found herself standing outside a traditional bar on one of the quiet side streets that ran parallel to Velázquez. She walked inside, ordered a tequila, and knocked it back in one go. A small, middle-aged man with a bald head and glasses entered the bar after her. He sat down on the stool next to her and ordered a rum and coke. He put his right hand inside his jacket pocket and checked that his handgun was switched to safety. Then he turned to Lola and said, "Can I buy you another drink?"
What an intense day for Lola Badiola. And who is the man with the gun? And what does he want? We'll find out in the next episode. But right now, let's study some English. So this episode is jam-packed full of common expressions and idioms. We also have some advanced vocabulary to discuss. But let's start with this. Here we go.
Cayetano Tolosa was a bad apple. It was good that he was gone.
A bad apple is used to describe somebody who has a negative influence on everybody else around them. In the way that a bad or a rotting apple has an effect on all of the other apples in the box. In this case, Cayetano is the bad apple because he is a bad influence on some of the other employees. Okay, here's the next expression.
She spent the next 4 hours on the phone, mixing cold calls with sales pitches and relationship-building chats. It was what she did best.
If you work in sales, you will know exactly what a cold call is. It is connecting with somebody for the very first time and trying to get them interested in learning more about your product. It is often regarded as the most difficult and at times the most soul-destroying part of sales. I don't know about you, but if I receive a cold call from somebody trying to sell me a new mobile telephone contract, I am not very sympathetic with them. Okay, listen to this very colloquial American expression. Here we go.
At 2 p.m., she received a call from JJ. It was her opportunity to explain how and why Cayetano had left the company.
Lola, what's up?
What's up? Or more clearly, what's up? What is up? It simply means, what's going on? What's happening? How are you? How's everyone? It's a sort of very common greeting expression that you might use in an informal situation with friends. And it was made very famous by the cartoon character Bugs Bunny, whose catchphrase was, "What's up, Doc?" And it is, of course, also used as the inspiration for the messaging service WhatsApp, which is a combination of what's up with the word application. WhatsApp. Okay, let's go back to a classic business expression. Here it is.
Once again, Lola didn't react. It was the worst-case scenario, but one she had considered. She chose to remain silent and let JJ explain.
So we have a best-case scenario, we have a worst-case scenario, and you've probably also heard of a win-win scenario. These are all incredibly popular expressions in business English. A scenario is simply one of multiple outcomes. And in this case, with a worst-case scenario, we are considering the most negative alternative of them all. Now, before Lola meets with JJ and Diego, she's considering all of the alternatives for the business. She's questioning herself, why do they want to meet with me? This sounds important. What is possibly happening here? What are all the different alternatives? And from her perspective, when they explain what they plan to do with the company, it is, of course, the worst case scenario. Okay, here's the next expression.
We're in a difficult situation, Lola. We're burning cash like it's kindling. We have no sign of revenues. And there are forces, powerful forces, working against us.
Burning cash, often referred to as cash burn, is simply the money that a company, normally a startup, has raised from internal or external investors and is now spending to build the business. It is essentially the ongoing costs of running a business that has yet to bring in any revenues. And this, of course, is completely unsustainable. So a startup company will consider the cash that it currently has on its balance sheet. It will calculate the cash burn, i.e. the rate at which it is spending this money, and it will therefore know exactly how many days are left before it runs out of money, before it goes bankrupt, or alternatively needs to return to investors for another round of funding to raise more money to keep going. Now, this is an extremely stressful time for a business and its founders. And many entrepreneurs and investors lose a lot of sleep during this period in the life of a startup. And that is the case with JJ Thompson at the moment. His business is burning a lot of cash. He cannot see any revenues coming in. He is losing sleep. And now he has an interesting offer from TechSpania. Let's have a look at that offer in more detail. Here we go.
They're offering us €6 a share. It was undeniably a generous offer, proof that TechSpania valued the intellectual property of JBlock very highly. JJ continued, "We all have an equity stake in JBlock. You, me, Diego, the programmers. We all benefit financially from this deal."
From an objective perspective, we don't know if €6 a share is a good price or a bad price, because we actually don't know how many shares there are in existence. So we can't actually put a valuation on the complete company. That information's not available to us. But of course it is available to JJ and Diego. And on the basis of the way that they are reacting and speaking about this offer, we can assume that it's a good offer, that it's a generous price for the company. Now, TechSpania is willing to buy the company, wants to buy the company, despite the fact that the company is not making any revenues, let alone any profits. And this happens quite a lot in the technology sector. Bigger companies buy smaller, younger companies on the basis of the belief of the growth of the business, of future revenues that will come from the technology that they have developed. And that is the case here with the way that TechSpania perceives the value of JBlock. Now, at this point, JJ reminds Lola that she has an equity stake in JBlock. In other words, she owns shares of the company, and she therefore stands to benefit financially from this so-called generous offer. And this happens a lot in startup companies, in technology companies. People who are there at the beginning, instead of being paid a high salary, they are offered an equity stake in the company. That means that if the company succeeds and grows, the value of that equity stake grows as well. And for people who were there at the beginning of Microsoft or the beginning of Apple or Facebook or any of these successful technology companies have ended up extremely rich because they have taken an equity stake in the company right at the beginning. And that is essentially what JJ offers all of the people in the company. They all have an equity stake. Therefore, they all benefit from this generous offer from TechSpania. Of course, Lola doesn't see it that way. This is how she responds.
"We're going to be just like all those other startups who begin with good intentions and end up selling their souls to the devil."
JJ sat back in his chair and scratched his head. Lola was now on a roll.
When you say somebody is on a roll, you mean that they have momentum. They have forward motion in whatever it is that they are doing. So you imply that they are making progress. And normally when somebody is on a roll, the best thing you can do is just let them continue. Okay, here's another everyday expression.
"When are we going to start seeing some cold hard cash? Trust me, JJ, it's just around the corner."
Just around the corner. This implies that something is not visible, but nevertheless, it is extremely close. Which is appropriate in this particular situation. Lola hasn't signed any new clients, but she has a lot of hot prospects. And she is convinced that she will make that first sale very soon. Her first client is just around the corner. Okay, let's continue.
Okay, JJ, you know best. But just let me say, this company isn't worth €6 a share, or 600, or 6,000. It's worth way more than that, and you're selling it for a song.
Selling something for a song simply means to sell something extremely cheaply, a long way below its true value. The expression originates from the small amounts of money given to wandering musicians outside pubs and bars in medieval times. Today, these types of musicians are called buskers, people who stand on the streets in city centres singing songs by the Beatles or Oasis or Coldplay in order to earn a little bit of money from the people who pass by. I used to be a busker. I used to play my guitar on the streets to make a little bit of money when I was a student. In fact, I spent a whole summer by the Ponte Vecchio in Florence with my good friend Sergio, playing music for a little bit of money from the tourists that passed by, selling our songs for a few pennies. So, to review, if you sell something for a song, you sell it for very little money. Okay, what is the final twist at the end of this particular chapter? Let's listen again.
A small, middle-aged man with a bald head and glasses entered the bar after her. He sat down on the stool next to her and ordered a rum and coke. He put his right hand inside his jacket pocket and checked that his handgun was switched to safety. Then he turned to Lola and said, "Can I buy you another drink?"
It's been a very intense day for Lola Badiola. She started off confronting and then firing her colleague, Caetano Tolosa, the mole. And then she found out that JJ had decided to sell J-Block. And she realizes she no longer has a future in this business. And finally, she goes to a bar to try to forget all the chaos in her life. And a stranger sits down next to her with a gun in his pocket. Fortunately, it is switched to safety. Now, I don't know much about guns, but I do know that you can't fire a gun when it's switched to safety. Who is this guy? And what does he want? We will find out in the next chapter. In the meantime, if you would like to improve your business English in a more formal way, please feel free to join Marina and me at our online business English platform for live, interactive, and fun classes. All you have to do is go into the chapter description of this podcast, and you will find the link at the bottom of that description. Just click on that, and you can access Club Grattan and have interactive classes with Marina and me. We hope also that you will join us for the next chapter of The Adventures of Lola Badiola. Until then, keep bringing English into your life. And remember, never sell anything for a song.